This is Bad Attitudes.
Hello, friends and strangers, and welcome to another episode of Bad Attitudes, an uninspiring podcast about disability. I'm your host, Laura. If you take anything away from this episode, I hope it's to go follow Imani Barbarin on social media. Her details will be in the episode notes. This week's supporter shout-out goes to Jen Kellogg. Thank you for your support, Jen. If you're interested in supporting the podcast, be sure to check out the Ko-fi page at ko-fi.com/badattitudespod. You can subscribe to one of 7 membership tiers for special perks like bonus episodes, book reviews, a virtual book club, and more. Tiers start at just $2 per month, and your support helps keep the pod running. If subscribing isn't for you, you can also make one-time donations through Ko-fi, and each donation will be shouted out in a future episode. But there is no pressure to subscribe or donate. Sharing and interacting with the podcast is incredibly helpful. The best way to grow the podcast and our community is through word of mouth. So if you like this episode, be sure to share it with your friends. Leaving a rating or review on your favorite podcast platform also really helps me out. For questions, comments, or ideas, email badattitudespod@gmail.com or reach out through social media. Follow at Bad Attitudes Pod on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok. As always, I want to remind you that disability is not a monolith. My experience as a disabled person is going to be different from the experiences of other disabled people. I am one voice for the disabled community, but I am not the only voice. Imani Barbarin is one of my favorite disabled content creators. She is clever, funny, and wicked smart. I learn a lot from her, and several episodes have been inspired by something she posted. Like now. Months ago, she made a post about exercise and disabled people that resonated with me. I know it's taken me a while to get to it, but the topic for this episode has been on my mind the entire time. I can't remember her exact wording, and I didn't save the post. My bad. So I'll try to paraphrase it as succinctly as possible. She was talking about exercise and being physically disabled, and she mentioned the idea that to include exercise in your life as an adult, much of the advice centers around finding physical activities you enjoyed as a child, and to just have fun with it. And as Imani pointed out, if you grew up disabled, that is easier said than done. She also mentioned that many disabled children visit physical therapists, and that can have an impact on how they view exercise as adults. I'll get back to that. Personally, I hate exercising. I know it's important for my health, and I swear I am trying to incorporate it into my daily life. Particularly, I want to get stronger and increase my flexibility and stamina so that I can stay as independent as possible for as long as possible. But it's a struggle. I always feel like the time I spend exercising could be spent doing things that are more enjoyable, or more beneficial, or more productive. The only type of exercise I even remotely enjoy is swimming, but as soon as it becomes physical activity as opposed to hanging out in the pool, it loses a lot of appeal. Truth be told, I probably need a physical trainer who can tell me exactly what kind of exercise I should be doing to achieve my goals, but that requires money, a resource in short supply these days. I've heard the advice of finding a fun physical activity or a physical activity that you enjoyed as a child. Again, that activity is swimming, but like I said, it loses a lot of appeal when it becomes exercise instead of just having fun. I thought back to my childhood and tried to think of ways in which I physically played that I could bring into my life today. I got nothing. As a disabled child, physical play wasn't often an option. My primary methods of play were imagination-based. Barbies, primarily, but also coloring or drawing. Reading books. As a disabled child with a condition that meant I could break a bone at any moment, physical play could be dangerous. I can think of a couple of specific instances, both in which I was playing with my step-cousin at my grandma's house. In fact, these could have happened the same day for all I know. In one instance, he knocked my tooth out. This wasn't a big deal. I think every kid gets a tooth knocked out at least once. I think the adults probably had more anxiety about it because of my OI. But the other time that comes to mind, we were playing some sort of game where we were, I think, spies? And I sort of rolled off the sofa in my grandma's living room and landed on my knees. First, let me say, I lament the days when I felt perfectly fine moving my body recklessly. I used to take risks like sitting on the backs of couches and getting on and off the floor. Nowadays, I won't sit on a couch if it's too squishy because it makes transferring harder. Ah, youth. I don't remember exactly what happened when I landed on my knees, but I do remember pain and going to the doctor that afternoon. I'm fairly certain I got a splint, but I'm pretty sure I didn't actually break anything. I don't remember much physical play with my parents or other adults. I'm sure we did, it just doesn't stand out in my memory. I do, however, have vivid memories of doing leg lifts with weighted socks around my ankles as prescribed by, you guessed it, a physical therapist. Physical therapy was a part of my life early on. It was even a part of my IEP in elementary school, so a couple of times a week I would be taken out of class to meet with my physical therapist, usually in an unused corner of my school's media center, to perform random physical activities. Sometimes these activities made sense, like practicing walking with my walker or crutches. Other times, not so much. There's one exercise that still makes little sense to me. It involves sitting mermaid style and stacking cardboard cones, like a baby toy, but more utilitarian. I guess it was a way to build core strength, but once I started wearing a back brace at age 7, sitting mermaid style was something I could no longer do. There is only one skill I learned in all of my years of physical and occupational therapy that remains useful today. Learning how to transfer from my wheelchair to a toilet so I no longer had to wait for someone to help me go to the bathroom. That was a major step forward in my independence. Otherwise, well, there's a reason I call physical therapists Satan's handmaidens. I encountered them a lot during hospital stays following operations or broken bones, and the experience was never pleasant. It was painful and frustrating, and did I mention painful? When Imani mentioned physical therapists in context with disabled people and exercise, a light bulb went off. It makes more sense now why I don't enjoy physical activity. My entire childhood was spent building an association between physical activity and pain, both actual and potential. I don't know what it will take to break that association, but I think it's going to require hypnosis at a minimum. I'll be honest with you. My unrealized gifted child potential probably has something to do with it. I was conditioned to be good at things immediately and to see results immediately. I'm not good at exercise, and by its very nature, exercise doesn't give immediate results, which is disappointing. This isn't to say disabled people can't or don't exercise. They can and do. But growing up disabled and visiting a physical therapist often means associating exercise with improving your disability. There's only so much room for improvement when it comes to disability. No amount of exercise as a child was ever going to make me not need a wheelchair. It was never going to make Imani's cerebral palsy disappear. And if it's not going to improve your disabled state, what's the point? That's probably too broad of a generalization. I would wager that most disabled kids come to understand pretty quickly that physical therapy isn't going to cure them. But at least when I was growing up, it was marketed as a situation where if you can do X, then you'll be able to do Y. And if you can do Y, then you'll be able to do Z. And if you can do Z, your life will be so much better. But there's no specific evidence that that's true. And better from whose perspective? Likely, the betterment of a disabled person's life is being determined by someone who is not disabled. I am not denying the value of either exercise or physical therapy. On the whole, they are both good things. They are incredibly beneficial to a number of people. Remember, I can use the bathroom independently thanks to a therapist. It's not always as simple as finding an activity that was fun for you as a child if your physical activity was limited due to disability. I also wish more people understood that when you're disabled, exercising isn't necessarily as simple as going to a gym. I don't know much about gyms, but I do know that few of them include equipment or classes that are accessible for disabled people. Accessibility is a problem. Years ago, I was doing research on trainers that worked with disabled people, and there was one woman I messaged with who worked as a physical trainer with people with varying disabilities, but her studio didn't even have a ramp. That seems like a kind of basic must-have. A couple of YouTube channels offer workout videos for disabled people, though I think they cater more specifically to wheelchair users. What it comes down to is, I simply don't enjoy exercising. I don't think my body produces endorphins the way people talk about after exercising. I think runner's high is a myth. I don't think you can convince me that someone can feel that good after running. I think all you runners are lying and no one wants to fess up, so you all just keep running and hating it. That is the conspiracy theory I believe in. How do you make yourself enjoy exercise? I'm seriously asking. If you have tips or strategies, I want them. I want to be in better physical health. I want to be able to do simple things or roll average distances without overexerting myself. I can't believe this is the same body that had me rolling all over my college campus without my head exploding. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you in the next one.